This morning we read from the book of Jeremiah chapter 10. We read from verse 6. I believe many of us should know this by heart by now. We read from verse 6 all the way to verse 16. Are you there? I want to let's go then. You are great, and great is your name in might. Who will not fear you, O King of the nations? Indeed, it is your due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether stupid and foolish. In their discipline of delusion, their idol is wood. Beaten silver is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Euphrates. The work of a craftsman, and of the hands of a goldsmith. Violet and purple are their clothing. They are all the work of skilled men. But the Lord is a true God. He is a living God, and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure his indignation. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth will perish from the earth and from under the heavens. It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he has stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, and brings out the wind from his storehouses. Every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols, for his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like this, for the maker of all is he, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you because you have gathered us to impart your spirit into us again. Thank you. From wherever we are joining this, you have placed a spirit in our hearts to love you and to want to know more of you. Satisfy that thirst this morning, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom, spirit of revelation, and the knowledge of you. Therefore, we declare as follows. Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, I'm pleasing him in all respects, I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart, it is giving me light and direction, it is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's take our seats. The Lord is good. All right, good morning again. Beautiful morning to you. Say amen.
Amen.
I don't know you claim things. That's how you claim it. Just say amen. Let's start again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Beautiful morning to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, it's a morning of grace. It's a morning of insight.
Amen.
It's a morning of the release of God's power.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right. Let us start this morning. As you know, these days I just take a topic and then we look at it, not part of any series necessarily. And something has been on my mind for some time. I've not been able to get it. Easy as start. I think I've done like 3 or 4 times now. But then we're going to, I think, what the Spirit wants to say, all right, for that day. So I'm still going to try. But from another angle today, so let's see whether it will click. Is that okay? All right, the Lord is good. I want to talk about the cross of the Christian this morning and the fact that we have to take up our cross and follow him. The book of Luke, chapter 9. Okay, let me start from 21 so that we can get this sentence from the beginning. But he warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone. That was after Peter said, "You are the Christ of God," all right? He warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day." Now notice verse 23. And he was saying to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it." For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? I like the way the classic King James would go here. Say, gains the whole world and loses his own soul. That's important. And forfeits his soul. So he said, what is he going to gain? In verse 26, he says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. This is our story in verse 26. It says, some, in trying to save their lives, will be ashamed of me. In trying not to lose their job, they will be ashamed of me. In trying to gain favor with people, they will be ashamed of me. I hope you're getting my point. The young lady that was killed in the university, in Sokoto, was it last year? Yeah, it was because she refused to pull back. She didn't insult anybody. She did not do any what they call blasphemy. She just testified of Jesus. And those two men dead, they demanded that she recall. She said no, she wouldn't do it. That's why they lynched and killed her. It's not a nice thing. All right? But you know what? God let it happen. Jesus could have delivered her easily. What's her name again? Deborah, right? Yeah, Jesus could have delivered her easily. He chose not to. He does that once in a while. In fact, I feel that the Spirit of God possessed her and said, you won't deny the Lord. She just gave a testimony of what Jesus has done for her. You know, like on a school chat group class, something like that. For whatever reason, some people decided to come and, you know, intimidate her. And she refused to recount her testimony. That's all. Now, there's a reason why I refer to that. Jesus said, why do people become ashamed of me? They want to preserve their lives. They go to the office. They say, here, if they know you're a Christian, you won't get promoted. So they hide their Christianity for the sake of promotion. That's what Jesus was referring to. He said, look, he said, what does it profit you? If you do your net, you know, profit analysis, what have you gained? You've gained promotion, you've gained money, you've gained human connection. Some will tell you that you won't give you political office or if you tell the truth about me. The funny part is that, do you know, it even extends into church. Because when we talk about Christ, there are two sides to Christ. In fact, more than two. Now, I've said that many times. There are different levels. But there's one aspect, which is the person, Jesus Christ. Do you get my point? All right? There's another aspect of Christ, which is the truth of the Word of God. Sometimes, even though we all acknowledge the person, we start hiding, even though we know the truth about certain things about him. There are churches in which if you acknowledge the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is here today performing miracles, you can never be a bishop. You're ordained. You understand? You're a priest or pastor, whatever it might be. But there are certain truths you must deny if you want to advance in that organization. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me. Now, please, you have to understand. Preserving life is the reason why people are ashamed. What do they call life? Prosperity. What do you mean by life? You know, literal living. What do you mean by life? Promotion in the office. The way you are preaching in this denomination, they'll never promote you. That's what we mean by being ashamed of the truth. One of our brothers once, their church pastors, one of the big, you know, churches, started preaching some things. And because God gave him the influence, he can talk to people like that. So he went and met him, say, pastor, you know, this denomination, they move, they have bishop over them and all of that. Let me not tell you which one. But it's one that you all know is not me, nothing secret. So he went and told the pastor, please, sir, this thing you are preaching, when did you start? You were not like this before. What's going on here? The man said, listen, I know what you are saying is true. But give me money. I need money. Bishop has said this amount of money we have to pay before the end of the month. So this one you are saying, do you think I don't know it? I know you too. No, that's how you can't even help people again. Because he has told you the... If it was hiding, you know you'd be arguing. He said, hey, what you know? I know it. I know I'm supposed to be preaching what you said I should be preaching. I want to preach it. There's only one problem. That one you said I should preach doesn't bring money. And this is the amount of money I have to pay to our regional or diocesan or whatever. Just, you know, there are different names we use. But the boss says this is how much we must remit. Told this story several times. One of our sisters, she's a senior person in their church. So the pastor came to her. She's older than the pastor. You know, just like she's not in core ministry. So came to her and said, madam, please pray for me. What am I pray for you all the time. Anything special? Yes, because I feel like God is going to destroy me very soon. Why? He said, because now I don't even preach what God says I should preach. I know what the Holy Spirit is saying, but I can't preach it. Why? Because I get signals from headquarters. Like last week, on Saturday, I prayed prepared for Sunday service. I had the word from heaven. And I got a signal. For those who don't know, in military, a message is what you call a signal. Do you get my point? So it's not like you saw a sign in the stars. And what I mean is that they sent you a message. Is that okay? Okay, so that's where I get that from. So I got an instruction from headquarters that this amount of money must be remitted by the end of Sunday service, at the end of Sunday. So I have to raise the money during the service. See, so I abandoned the word the Holy Spirit gave me. And that one you heard me preach was so as to raise money. He knew what the Holy Spirit would do, what God would do to him. So he came to beg, please pray that God will not do to me what he's supposed to do. There's only one problem. No matter how hard anybody prays for you, now you know the truth. Your sin has become a sin unto death. The difference between the sin unto death and the one not unto death is your conscious awareness of truth. If you know what is true and you go against it, intercessions don't save you really. Now that you have come to acknowledge, that's the first step to what? Deliverance. The next step is what? Repentance. This prayer you are begging for, God says, you don't understand. You have used your mouth to confess that you don't deserve mercy. So now, the prayer is for strength to do what is right. I will suspend the judgment, but it will fall. You know, there's something they do when they are abroad. We don't do much that much in Nigeria. We don't do much, you know, formal credit business. You buy something with a credit card. Maybe the company gives you their credit. Pay, no charges, no interest. 3 months, you have to pay. What they don't tell you is that if by the fourth month you haven't paid, they don't start charging interest at the end of the third month. They start the interest from the first month. So they know interest if you finish paying by that third month. Where am I going? If God suspends judgment for you, that's the way it is. If you sin that sin again, all the ones you did before, they join everything. But you can cancel all of it if you stop. But if you don't think I have said sorry for the first one, sorry for the second one. When you do, they just bring it from the, because the judgment was in suspension. Why? You knew the truth. If you are ashamed, that's what I'm trying to emphasize. What it means to be ashamed of Jesus Christ. To be ashamed of him, there are two sides. One, the confession of his name, of his person. There are times we refuse to confess him as we should. Why? We are afraid for our lives. Jesus said, it is those who are afraid that will actually lose it eventually. It's when they will lose that's the difference. How they will lose is the difference. One of my colleagues, a preacher, I've talked about him here before. Once, there was riot in the place where he lived, one of these northern cities where there's trouble a lot of times. So the Christians and the Muslims were fighting. He went to work. He's a doctor. So he was coming back home late. And some of the, what do we describe? They're not rioters anymore. If you are willing people to kill them, what are you? Anyway, some of the people fighting, he ran into their roadblock. So they dragged him out of the car. Now there's a place where everybody is the same tribe. At least basically, we're all Africans at least. Everybody's black. There's no way of knowing. So he knew he was dead meat if he's of the wrong religion. So they asked whether he was a Christian or a Muslim. So he looked. So he said his final prayers. Father God, into your hand, I commit my spirit. But deny my Lord, it won't happen. So he told them, I am a Christian. To his surprise, they told him he could go. That was the so-called Christian militia. I use the word so-called because we who believe in Christ don't do such things. In fact, they made him recite a psalm. Okay, recite Psalm 23. So he told them, the Lord is my shepherd. You know the way. He gave it to them. And they cleared the road that he could go. Now, that's what Jesus meant. Those who want to preserve their lives, who will have said, I'm dead. He said, I'm a Muslim. That's the one they will have killed that day. Now, please, Christians don't do that. Those people are not Christians. We renounce them openly. That is not how we behave. We don't stop on the road, start killing people. Yeah, I know. See, get my point. I'm not saying that something bad didn't happen to them. Something bad happened. They are retaliating. They are avenging themselves of their adversaries. I know. But we don't do that. That is not what Jesus said we should do. Let's just summarize it like that. I forbid you, as a child of God, a true believer in Christ Jesus, from ever getting involved in such. Now, in case you don't know, if you do it, next time God will not defend you. There's what the Bible called leaving room for the wrath of God. Now, I know some people want to argue, hey, what if your life is threatened? Their lives are not threatened. They are the ones manning a roadblock. Do you get my point? Uh-huh. So that argument does not even come up at all. Let's get that clear. So, but just to give you an example. Now, you've heard this joke before. Now, this one is a joke, but also illustrated. Two men were lost somewhere in the desert. And then they were hungry, thirsty. They ran into a tent. Now, this is Arabian desert. So they say, let's go. And they were Christians. And they were hungry. So they walked into the tent and saw the Muslim man there. So what is your name? So the other one said, look, let's tell him we are Muslims so that he can help us. And I said, no, we are Christians. We cannot go there and say we are Muslims. I said, no, look, you will just die of hunger and thirst. So they got there. They asked the first person, hello, you're welcome. What is your name? He said, my name is Abdul Malik. And this guy was Stephen a while ago. But he's not Abdul Malik. So his friend looked at him. He didn't answer. Oh, you're welcome. What is your name? My name is Michael. Please sit down. The man went and brought food, gave to Michael, and talked to Abdul Malik and said, Ramadan Karim, that is, we are fasting. You will get your own at night. It happened to be during Ramadan. That's how Abdul Malik sat down there. I was watching Michael, this food. The man didn't have a problem with anybody. He said, but if you're my Muslim brother, we are fasting. I can't be defiling you by giving you food. Wait till night. He that wants to lose his life is the one that will save it. Or the one that's willing to lose his life. But the one that wants to preserve his life, Jesus says the one that will lose it. Now, I've told a number of stories to show immediate results. But whether the result is immediate or not, ultimately that's what happens. Some people actually die on the earth physically, and God allows it to happen. But their lives for eternity would have been preserved because of the testimony of Jesus. I said something the other day. I saw they cut into our shots on YouTube. And I was really impressed by the way it was cut. That look, there's no... I was talking about Isaac. If you read my book, By Faith Acquired... No, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I said sometimes Isaacs die. Don't assume that once you lay Isaac on the altar, God will change his mind. The one you saw there in the Bible died. The one that Abraham went back with was actually a resurrected Isaac. God was teaching it a lesson. Now, because he couldn't kill that person physically for many reasons, he told him, take a lamb in his stead. But the Isaac that went back was given to Abraham as a sign of resurrection. And I said that, listen, many Isaacs physically will die, but they always resurrect. How they resurrect is a different story. Because you see, the first seed has its own kind of body, the Adamic seed. But the second seed has a different kind of body. Each seed is given a body. So when God resurrects that Isaac, he gives him a different kind of body. Now let's just do physical things. Do you understand? Money may be lost. Do you get my point? And that spirit that allows that money to go, resurrects later as a good wife, as an example. Resurrects later as beautiful children, as a ministry. It's money that got lost. There is nothing you lose, I said, for Jesus Christ that does not resurrect again. But usually it's another body. And it takes insight for you, that is spiritual eyes, to know what actually happened. Many times God doesn't even let you know. Just keep on living your life. And that's what it means to live by faith. It's not everything you have an explanation for. It's not everything you have an explanation for. That is why you live by faith. If you lose something, you've given it to God. Don't worry. No, I preached some time ago. There are things you lost long ago. You were angry for a long time. I said, look, now give it up. Do you follow my point? There are things you've lost long ago. You can deliberately, in quotes, recover them now. Okay? Simply by giving them off now, deliberately. Now, you know, there are things that are taken from you, and there are things you are given. You are giving. That is like, you snatch my handkerchief, what can I do about it? You are stronger than me, you are armed. But if I have it my way, I'll pursue you. You know, break your leg and collect it back. There are times you have finished doing that. You come back, want to give me the handkerchief. I said, go away with it. He said, no, you can have it, but I said, I don't want it. You give it back, I throw it away. That what you do now, as soon as you left, I gave it over to the Lord. So when you bring it back, I say, it's no longer mine. Even if you were to give it to me, I would take it and go and give it to a beggar. So that's what I mean. Something is taken away from you. That's one. But you can kneel down in prayer and say, Lord, I give you that thing. When you give something over to the Lord deliberately, you preserve the spirit. If it's a blessing therein, which it should be, God is blessing you. That blessing therein is preserved. One of the reasons, I'm not saying the only reason, but the major reason why Job recovered everything he did was because he said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken. And he said, let me summarize like this, Lord, you can have it. That's what he meant when he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't fight God. Now, what does it mean to fight God? I'll tell you what it means to fight God. And some of you have been fighting God. Some of you listening to me have been fighting. Oh, God. God, don't wrestle with you. Tire. What does it mean to fight God? 3 months later, you are still asking him what happened. What did you know? Now, not, Lord, I want to have an insight. I want to have understanding. In case, you know, if I did what was wrong, correct me. That's not what I'm talking about. It's more like, was the tithe not complete? You know, that kind of query. Did I not work for you? Did I not pray? Did I not do everything I was supposed to do? 3 months later, because you lost money, or you miscarried, or somebody disappointed you, you are still angry. And you are wondering, God is supposed to be faithful. It's called fighting with God. You are still fighting him. Sorry, I always get on sniffer. Because you showed a seed. You sowed one powerful seed. Earth-shaking seed. Heaven-moving seed. At the end of the day, it was seedless. It didn't produce anything. It told you in 1 month, God will do. So pastors, when they want to collect money, the kind of theatrics. When the Lord have mercy on another Yinka and all of them. And of course, you bought into it. You planted heavy. You didn't know that your seed was dead. It's called DOA, dead on arrival. You want a DOP, dead on planting. Not only that, you planted in a hard soil, concrete. Go and plant seed on top of concrete, inside the sun. If you were seed, wouldn't you die? Now, the point I make is that 3 months later, see, a lot of people, please, pastors, let me get back to you. I get to your matter once in a while. Pastors, stop making people hate God. Please now, I'm begging you. You are a bad messenger. You represent him wrongly. Because you promise what he didn't promise. When he doesn't fulfill it, you make him look like a liar. I keep on saying to pastors, teach Christians to love God, not to try to manipulate him. That witchcraft spirit that we use is wrong. What's the witchcraft spirit? I'm giving so God can bless me back. I'm working in church so that God can establish me. I'm doing this so that God can. It's a witchcraft spirit. God hates it. It's an insult to him as a father. Let me not sit on that now. But why was Job able to preserve this life of that seed? Because simply he said, the Lord gave. The Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is, I'm not angry with him. Like I said the other day, was it last week or the week before? That you can't be angry with God. You can only be angry with somebody who makes mistakes, who is negligent, or doesn't have the best of intentions. Do you get my point? I mean, which other reason will you be angry with somebody? It's either you don't have good intentions, or you're negligent. You don't do what you're supposed to do at the right time, therefore I've suffered loss because of you. Or third, you make too many mistakes. So it's costing me. You work for me, I tell you, go and you drive the company truck to go and bring something. You jam a tree. If it's even tree, it's good. You went and jammed EDC pillar. Brought out wire. Because EDC will make you pay. I pay wire money. I pay electrical people to come and refix the wire. I pay for pole. I'm still the one that will repair my car. The truck. And if it's eggs, we're carried. All the eggs broke. We are not even willing to look for the ones that didn't break. Because in the process of looking for the ones that didn't break, we'll break it. Just dump the whole thing. If I decide that you will pay 8 years later. And since this is Nigeria, we don't have insurance. If you're a company, if you run a company, go and get insurance. Do you get my point? Now that's godly counsel. So no, but wait, your driver doesn't have faith. I hope you know that. Some unbelievers are in your company. They are evil spirits. Seriously, it's sound business. It's not unbelief as a business person to have insurance. If you are moving goods like I just described now, please have your truck and goods insured. That is good business practice. I hope you're getting my point. I'm not teaching on business now. Yeah, Reverend Yinka, did I lie? If it's true, shout amen.
Amen.
That's not very true because the amen is not loud. Was it loud?
Amen.
Okay, he's saying what I'm saying is true. Now, that's a smaller side. That's not important, all right? In the core of what we're teaching. All right? So that's what you're angry with. That's the kind of person you're angry with. But you can't be angry with God because he never makes mistakes. He doesn't forget. He always has the best intentions at heart. So if something happens, like I said, it is of the Lord's mercies that you are not consumed. See that truck that jammed and your eggs, all right, were lost and you incurred some liabilities because you hit the pole. Because I don't understand. Your whole farm was supposed to burn. See when you lost eggs. Bird flu was supposed to kill your 50,000 birds. Some men were supposed to start a fight in your company. And things are supposed to happen. When they brought the petition, I said no. But this was the best I could do. Now, we are not going to detail about it. So the loss you have suffered is what God said, thus far and not any further. Do you get my point? So that's why we don't get angry with him. That's why we can't be fighting him. That's why we can give thanks always. That is why we can give thanks always. Please, I hope you're getting that point. That is why we can give thanks always. So bear it in mind. If you do that, you have deliberately given something over to God and you can recover the spirit of it. In fact, the spirit cannot die. What is lost, the spirit of the blessing therein will wear another garment. In the case of Job, it manifested again as double what he lost and the number of children recovered. And according to the Red Prince, why he didn't double the children is that the ones that were gone are still alive. Did you catch that? They doubled everything else. Everything else was doubled. All right? But the children were replaced exact number. He said, why? He said, because those ones have just gone ahead. So God, that's why they didn't double it. So just gave another set so now that the children were actually also doubled. But you get the point. All right, the Lord is good. All right, so I'm talking about true Christianity. That's why I went to that. So trying to preserve our lives is not necessary. What we need to do is learn how to... See, you know, I began that trying to emphasize what Jesus said. If you try to preserve your life, it's when you lose it. That is the reason why people deny the Lord. I said there are two forms of denial. There's a denial of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's a denial of truth. You know, truth is Jesus Christ. I hope you get my point. The truth of the word is Jesus. Now, just a small aside again. It's a small application of it. There are those who refuse to bear credible witness because they don't want to offend somebody. Did you get what I said? You are a witness. This man and this man are quarreling. But you want this man to lend you money. You were there when the fight broke out. This was a man who slapped this one first. This one only said, why did you park your car here? I wanted to leave. And that one said, why are you talking to me like that? I said, why can't I talk to you like that? Boom, he slapped his face. Then the man came to settle. Policeman then said, make a statement. What happened? Yeah. JK is supposed to give me money. Okay, I wasn't looking. Or, you didn't even lie. You just gently moved away and dissolved. I've seen people do it again and again in my presence. I remember I've used this story to illustrate before. This is just a perfect illustration. I was in secondary school. And this really happened in my class. Now, one of my classmates, my childhood friend, all right, we're in the same class. So, we did a test. So, the teachers gave him the script to go and return to everybody. So, he now did something. He said, okay, Akelu, this is your script. You got 25%. You know, that kind of thing. Turn around. Olumuiwa, this is your script. Your score is 55%. So he was calling out the names. So he called one guy in the class who was a bit older than the rest of us. And the guy failed. He got like 35%, that kind of thing. So he was just, let me not use the word innocently. He was doing it childishly. He was not supposed to do that. Okay? So that guy came to the front and gave him a slap. That guy just walked to the front and dashed him one slap. Now listen. So of course, this is secondary school. My friend stomped out of the class, went to meet the teacher, that somebody slapped him. And the teacher dutifully walked to the class because now, again, hey, so many things to say. Please, I keep on dropping tips here and there. If I'm in a position of authority, always take action when somebody says, avenge me of my adversary. If you don't, they will do it themselves and you'll be responsible for the chaos. That's why my children growing up, there's never a time they report somebody else. I don't answer. No matter how trivial. What I was doing is giving them confidence in the judge. That's a smaller side. That's a smaller side, okay? Always. Because if you don't, if you make it a habit, people will take the law into their hands. And then when they start fighting, why are you people fighting? And the person, last time I reported to you, it was a small thing. That's to you. To me, I was seriously aggrieved. A smaller side, I still told you. I keep on dropping small things. I hope you're writing them down. Just joking, okay? So the teacher came into class and said, what did you say happened? The guy repeated it. What happened? So the first thing the teacher wanted to do was establish that this guy was telling the truth. Say, were there witnesses? The boy said it happened in front of the class. So he turned to the class. Who saw it happen? You know the way people behave. Everybody was silent. I looked left, right. The whole class, I don't think we're less than 30 in that class. Present seated that day were not less than 15 to 18. Maybe some people were not around because there was no lecture class going on. Nothing less than 20 people were sitting down there. And everybody was silent. I looked left and right. The man said, who saw it? I put up my hand. Sir, I was here. It's exactly what he said. So he now turned to that guy. Why did you slap him? Now, the rest of the story, let me not go into the rest of the story. So after the whole thing was settled, that guy now turned to me. That he saw me testify against him because he's a family friend. He's actually friends with my elder brother. And in my mind, sir, this guy is my own friend. More importantly, how can we all sit down here and nobody can tell the truth? He said he has counted it up. He has marked it against me. In my mind, you can't go to blazes. This is my childhood friend. Now, beyond being a friend, you can't let truth die like that. It's not right. A lot of people do it. They think it's cool. It's not cool. You're not supposed to tell on your friend. Then don't do what is wrong if you're my friend. Because honestly, I will tell on you. Don't do what is wrong. Look, let's get it clear now. Not evil. If you are my friend. Because if they say who stole, I'm going to point at you. Because if I don't, God will point at me. These are different ways we deny Christ. Because I told you, Christ, one, there's a person of Jesus. Two, there's a truth of his word. Look, when the Bible says, thou shalt not bear, there's a reason why it's a commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Many of us have false witnesses because we refuse to bear any witness at all. As people do it to me, there's a matter I got into involved recently. People are like, their jaw dropped. That what? You saw this happen? This matter is going on, you are silent? How can you be silent? How on earth could you be silent? And being falsely accused, you know the truth. You are sitting in the meeting and you are silent. Now, if you are like that, let me just tell you something. Jesus said, I will be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. There are many little things we Christians do. We don't know the gravity of them. How can you see somebody being wrongly punished and you can be silent? Let me just tell you something about God. Eh? He's waiting for you. His mercy does not include that kind of nonsense. Whatever a man sows is the righteousness of God that he will reap. You can't be silent. Why are people silent? It is simple. They want to preserve their lives. You don't want to offend somebody. Now, I'm not saying be a tailbearer. You know, being a tailbearer. Yes. It doesn't concern you. Now, there are things that don't concern you. And then, you'll be doing, tafia. Madam, come and see. I see your husband jump this fence the other day. That one, it doesn't. Do you get my point? It's none of your business. Some women will even say, so how it can't concern you now? That is when you will stop. And they'll be embarrassed. That's not the kind I'm talking about. I'm talking about when the truth is needed from you as a credible witness and you choose to be silent, you have to answer to God for that. So I'll give you three levels of people being ashamed. But the most important ones, of course, these are the ways, if I've given them the order of their gravity. The most important is the person of Jesus Christ. You must bear witness of him. Number two, especially amongst us, this is just within us, the church. You should not be ashamed of the truth. You shouldn't be ashamed of the truth. Let people know the truth. Now, just for a practical, way of handling it. First, like now you're in a denomination, they are doing what you know is not right, okay? Initially, don't say anything. Go and pray. And first, be sure that what you know is right. I hope you're getting my point. When you are finally sure of it, see, sometimes, pastor, you will lose that branch. Because that's the problem. Your own is nice that your children, two of them entered university last year. One is about to write where I can jump. It's the money you are thinking. And this is the branch where it is happening. You know, there are branches where they post you to where you will suffer. You are richer than everybody in the branch. The only thing you can do in that place is preach the gospel. There's nothing else. Their testimony time is by mouth. No testimony by mouth. Praise the Lord. God was good to me. And they go and sit down. The other branch, before they say praise the Lord, you hear outside. You know what's moo? What is moo? Who knows what is moo? Uh-huh. They came to use it to thank God. You are the pastor. In case people don't know, that cow is not eaten by God though. Now we the chop. We are the ministers of God. We eat the cow. Amen? Yeah. So Pastor Frankie, so you'll be eating cow. Leave that side. But if anybody, now of course you know we don't do Thanksgiving here, but now just by the way, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. I just want you to don't be offended. When you see your pastor eating the meat, be happy. What do you expect him to do? Send it to heaven. He has sent it to heaven. Didn't he slaughter it? He has received with thanksgiving. So it's good. When you bring cow to church, expect the pastor to eat. Alright? Of course, he won't eat it alone. It's a whole cow. He will share with the other workers and everybody, but they will eat it on behalf of the Lord. And it is a good thing. There's nothing bad about it. Alright? But now you are in a place where they don't do things like that. All they do is just wave their hands, give the Lord a wiper. That's the only thing they can do. And they call it Thanksgiving. You know, you are looking like, I'm looking at all the church members. If you close your eyes, you just have to keep your eyes on God. Now, some people, that is why they won't tell the truth, because they'll be posted from where cow is the method of Thanksgiving to where give the Lord a wiper is the Thanksgiving method. And so for that reason, now let me just tell what God said, that by the time I'm done with you, there will be nobody in the church where you'll be pastoring. Because the person trying to save his life is the one that will do what? Lose it. So, and I gave a third level, very genuine testimony. So, now I've taken some time on that. All right? Now, what am I trying to teach? Why did I read that particular scripture? Now, please listen to this carefully. Christianity is not a joke. What did I say? Now, everything I've said so far just introduces what I really want to preach. Now, I'm starting my message for today. Christianity is not a joke. Talking to a man of God yesterday. We're just talking about some things. And I told him, I said, this is one thing I've been preaching for a while. Let me tell you the truth. It's better when they say, people of Israel, time to leave the land of Egypt. Go and sacrifice the Passover lamb. Paint the blood on your doorposts, and then you leave tomorrow morning in a hurry or during the night. It's better not to sacrifice. Stay with the Egyptians. Your firstborn will die, no problem. But Egypt will be good for you. It is better to behave like that than to offer that sacrifice, save your firstborn, I hope I get my point, then enter into the journey to the promised land with Moses and not obey everything Moses says along the line. No, that's not good for you. If you are not willing to follow Moses, if not, you are not willing to obey Moses, if you are not willing to suffer with Moses, Joshua, Caleb, and the rest, if you are not willing to face giants and enter into the promised land, which ultimately is the best thing for you, but if you are not willing to, please stay back in Egypt. Don't bother leaving Egypt. Please, don't leave Egypt. Stay in Egypt. Enjoy this life. Enjoy this life. Like I said, when the judgment comes upon the land, you will participate in the judgment. All those plagues will affect you. Your firstborn will go too. But after everybody has left, everything will calm down. You have your cucumbers, you have your garlic, you have your onions, you have land in Egypt, you have wood, you will have food, and you'll be fine. But if you decide to give your life to Christ, you must follow him every step of the way into the promised land. And please, don't believe lies that have infiltrated the church now. When they tell us that it doesn't matter, you can be on the journey to the promised land or be in the promised land and be living like you're in Egypt. That is a lie. That's how to die in the wilderness. See, let me give you one of the ways, things you must do. He said, they brought who to Jesus? Nathanael. What did Jesus say about him? Behold, a true Israelite. Or an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Go and wash guile out of your life. If you don't, it will destroy you in the wilderness. Please, I want to preach this to Christians again. Christianity is not a joke. It's not by force. Do you get my point? Look, let's use the word religion for Christianity. It's a religion that doesn't force anybody. If you see the one they say they first about to convert to Christianity, everybody go to church. They are not Christians. They are not born again. That is why today we have religions that have all kinds of things added to it. Some of our churches, really, some people don't know the history of idol worship in Europe. You will see that we took all the idols, brought into church, gave them names. We took the festivals. Many of our festivals, some of us, we don't know where they began from. Some of them were nothing but baptized. I mean, that's not even, the word baptized is not even good. It just renamed idolatry. Many of our festivals, why? You forced people to go to church. So they didn't become Christians at all. Some of them made it into priesthood, brought a lot of nonsense into what we call church. That's the history of many of the things we practice as Christians. We don't know where they came from. True Christianity is different. True Christianity talks to people. The Spirit convicts them. They repent. Where am I going? It's not for nobody is forced to become a Christian. Nobody is forced. So if you decide to be, it's a choice you made. I hope you know Moses didn't force anybody to leave Egypt with him. I hope you know that. I hope you know there were many people that did not leave Egypt and they were Israelites. Oh, you're not aware? You think it's possible that everybody left? Somebody didn't believe Moses. Some people were in joy with the Egyptians. I'm going to read it. Some joined Moses who were not Israelites. The Bible called them what? The mixed multitude. A lot of people followed Moses. Moses said, no problem, you can come. Once you pass through that Red Sea, you've been baptized. Is that not what the Bible says? Yeah, they were baptized. You didn't have to be a direct descendant of Jacob. Just pass through the Red Sea, you're baptized. But then you followed, it was a free choice. And Christianity is like that. But having entered, people of God, you have entered. Do you follow my point? You are in. You are in. You have to follow it to the limit. You have to do everything that he says. His name, Moses, those days, every command, you disobeyed the Sabbath. Moses ordered you stoned to death. He didn't care that he removed you from captivity. I gave you a law from God yesterday. Today you're already breaking it. Are you okay? He went to God, what do I do? God said, what did I tell you to do? They had the guys for breaking the Sabbath. We are worshiping the Lord thy God is one God. Then you go to the gods of Moab. Phinehas will kill you. There's no brother in it. And God will reward him. Phinehas, did you understand? Phinehas took his spear. Everybody was repenting. One guy said, Abemina, they repent. Me, I don't catch one woman. He went there, pinned the woman and him to the ground. And God said, for that zeal, he will be a priest and his descendants will be priests before me forever. There's no my brother inside again. You have, listen, that is, a lot of people come and preaching nonsense. That's what I see some woman the other day. He said, it is an assumption that God kills and makes alive. That God not only makes alive, he doesn't kill. Have you heard that doctrine? You have? And I was seeing the man, I said, Tall Reverend will say, that some people are bold, Sha. There's a kind of boldness you have. You're like, where did you get it from? The same man said that, look, and they said, Jesus is a lion of the tribe of Judah. He said, Jesus can never be a lion. He's a lamb. He said, but in the Bible, he said, whoever wrote that was not saying well. That Jesus is a lamb. He's not a lion of the tribe of anything. Very funny human being. Forgetting that was not where he began from. Jacob prophesied long ago. How did he describe Judah? It's nothing new. You think it's just in Revelation? This was prophesied before. But the man was bold. He said that the Lord does not kill. Very verily I say unto thee, according to the scriptures, the Lord kills. The Lord came one day and said, Moses, I warned you about this. If you are going to follow me, please, people of God, listen. You follow me entirely. I called you to ministry. Which ministry are you doing? Why is your son not circumcised? I told you, everybody in your household has to be circumcised. You said your wife did not agree. Who's leading in this house? Did you ever see God go and meet Eve? Where are you? Who did he ask? Did he say, Adam, where are the two of you? Adam, you are the one I put in charge. I don't know Eve before. Can I use that expression? That's what the Bible says. By one man, not a couple. Not by one family. By one man, sin entered. But Eve sinned first. Because I'm talking to the man in charge. You're talking about the woman who I give to assist him. I'm talking to the person in charge. You are talking about somebody I give to assist him. What is? Where was he? when she was eating things she's not supposed to eat. There's another story about the fact that she was deceived. But the point I'm making is that, see, God came to Moses and said, you didn't say, you know, the Bible said, the Lord said, I am going to kill you. Thank God the woman had the presence of mind. Like I said to you all the time, he wasn't threatening. He meant it. This is the painful part. There are Moseses that are dead, so we don't have their stories in our Bibles. I keep on saying that thing. There are dead Moseses that God called. I've heard people say dramatic things about some people I don't know. I have a particular one in mind. Ah, say this man, very anointed. Oh, you know, I've said this many times. Anointing doesn't preserve lives. That is, God called you to ministry. That's not what preserves your life. There's a priesthood that every believer is supposed to be in. That's when you must focus on. The anointing of you heal the sick, or your pastor, or your church has 10,000 members. That one doesn't preserve life. It doesn't at all. If Moses could almost die and Jonah was going to be drowned, Jonah who, Rick Jonah said, was the most anointed man that lived before Jesus came. All those prophets those days. And how did he prove it? Jonah preached 1 week message. It didn't even cover the whole city. And the whole city was converted overnight. He said, that's an anointing. Yet, God was going to drown him. He's going to kill the guy. If anybody tells you the Lord does not kill, the person lied. Did you hear what I said? If anybody tells you that the Lord does not kill, the person lied. Now, and I can say, use the word lie, because he's deliberately turning scripture upside down. The Lord gives, the Lord takes. The Lord kills and he makes alive. I've seen all kinds of tragedies. God only allows, I said, listen, let me just tell you. There was a time God said, I am about to invent evil against these people. So how do you twist that one? And like I say all the time, did God allow the earth to be drowned? The time of Noah? He pulled back and then suddenly, no. He command. Who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Satan? Didn't you saw them, didn't you? The Lord came himself. Let me come and check. And we saw the angel. Said, look, Lord, get out of here. I have something to do. I can't do it while you are still here. Those were the angels. How do you explain that one? How do we explain it? No, we always try to make God look like a nice, soft fellow who does nothing. Please, let me tell you the balance of scriptures. He doesn't like to do it, but he does it. Why? Far be it from the judge of the whole earth to do wickedly. If you don't do what is right, it is called wickedly. If you don't punish evil, it is wicked. See, Ananias was killed by God. So was Sapphira. Three people cooperated with that. God himself, Peter, and like somebody said, a seraph. What's a seraph? It's a breed of angels. You know, they are some type, you know, they are what they call angels. That's what they call seraphim, and they are cherubim. That a seraph came and struck them. Why? They preserve holiness. That's the job of seraphim. Seraphim is plural, okay? They preserve holiness. And these people were coming to defile the church. So the word of the Lord came through Peter. So I said, at least now, many people agree that the Lord killed them. But they say, okay, why did they do it? Because they are not Christians. It's not true. Paul made it clear to us. They were baptized into Moses by passing to Red Sea. True of us? So why did they perish in the wilderness? What am I emphasizing to you? Please, Christianity is not a joke. You don't have to do it. But if you are going to do it, you must do it. If you are going to do it, what did I say? You must do it. Do it well. Listen, when you give your life to Christ, I need to emphasize, people of God, you gave your life. You gave your life. Let us assume I'm sitting down here now. And then you decide to give me this cloth and wear. You gave it to me. Then I come in the morning. Have I ironed it? Go to me, Pastor. Have you washed that cloth I gave you? You come in the following day. Are you wearing it to church or you're not wearing it to church? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wrap it, put it in the bag, and send back to your house. How I use it is no longer your business. Unless you didn't truly give it to me. You can be angry that I didn't appreciate it, but that's your business. Do you get my point? That's your anger in your house. But you can't come and tell me how to use it. You know why? It's now mine. It's now my own. If I decide that it's for church, if I decide that it's for work, if I decide that it's for football, it's my own. I know you can be feeling bad when you see me wearing something like this, or go and be playing soccer. You're like, Oga. I know I'm with that thing. Wait, you can't tell me. Have you noticed that? You can't tell me. You just be feeling bad to yourself. In the same manner, let me get something clear to all of us. If you give your life to Christ, you know what you have done? you have given him. He uses it the way he likes. One of the major... Listen. Oh my God in heaven. Let me tell you, this life, they say it's not balanced. But you know the truth? It balance. Let's, those in Australia who don't understand Nigerian English. Oh, man. Who can't... Olori, can you help me with good English to explain? It's not balanced. Because that, you know, there are some things that only our English can say it well. You know that I say life not balanced. You understand. It's not joined. You know, you just know it. It's not straight. It doesn't fit now. Yeah, good. Yeah. Life doesn't seem fair. Yeah, that's good. All right. But you know what? It's very fair, ultimately. What do I mean? What you call an advantage. Maybe like now. Two women deliver. One went to General Hospital, delivered. Baby is healthy. And that one came from one, let me not mention any hospital now, one of these, you know, beautiful hospitals or abroad. Okay, they went to America, delivered the same baby. They both live in Enugu here, all right? Then the mother came back after 2 months with the baby born in America. And of course, the father gave the mother for delivering that son he has always wanted. It was a new GLE 450 or GLE 500. So for the mother of my little son, oh, the other one, they gave her extra opa or something like that. Maybe like, so she can breastfeed well. That is all. Do you get my point? No, the average person is looking and saying, wow, this baby is lucky. Look at the kind of house we are born. Now, they never even born you finish. You're just being born. You're an American citizen. Is that guy? I know, you know what I'm talking about. They just leave it like that. That's what some people mean, is that life is not fair. And the two of them, I'm going to live in society. I'm going to face some challenges in life. God said, you don't understand. See, what you call an advantage may be the only problem this guy will have in life. Now, you don't understand. He has to now struggle to obey my call for his life. What if I call him and say, go and pastor a church in Abakaliki? What would his American visa say to him, passport say to him? Do you know if I call both of them to go and be ministers in Benue, this one that you thought had a disadvantage, we find it easier to go. And ultimately, what matters is how much each one of them obeys me. So at the end of the day, this man is born with what you think is an advantage in an area is a disadvantage. This one is born with what you think is a disadvantage. In another way, it's an advantage. I went to preach somewhere once in Rivers. One woman came to see me the next day, was asking advice. She was pregnant. She went to go and deliver abroad. You know, she wasn't asked, but we were just talking, all right? One of the people that ministered to me. So we were just talking. She was pregnant, telling me things, and I said that she wanted to go and deliver abroad. And the husband has the money. And the husband said, lie, lie. All her mates were going abroad. As they are getting, look, once they are near delivery, they've taken off to the US, they've gone to deliver. Her husband refused. And she was asking me that, what should she do to the man? I said, there's nothing you're going to do to the man now. I said, why is he refusing? Now, you want to hear the reason? One of the seniors in their establishment, one of his bosses, that one had a son who was born abroad. He grew up to be a teenager and committed suicide. It was something between 18 and maybe 21 when the boy decided to commit suicide. So this younger one, who's the husband of this woman, decided... that the problem that boy had was that he could travel everywhere he wanted. And that the problem was that he was born, I think it was in Europe or the US too, and grew up sometimes there. And that if that boy had been born in Akure, do you get my point? Or maybe in nowhere, there would have been no problem. So he made up his mind, his wife is not delivering anywhere where he can see. See, there was no story the woman didn't tell. Oh God, I like the way your power say that it hang axe for neck. Oh fuck, I call that this is just this kind of like I don't go green. The woman was telling me, I said, what should I do? I said, do what your husband. Some people are very funny, yeah. What do you want me to tell you? Some pastor will now come, bring your hands. Bring a seed. And because the woman has money, she too should go and bring a heavy seed. Listen. If he agrees, God will punish the two of you. It's in your Bible. Go and read Ezekiel chapter, is it 14? That when, he said, I'm the one that prevailed upon that pastor to be talking nonsense.
so I can join into the judgment. I told the woman, "Madam, you know what you will do? Do as your husband said. Just don't worry, your child will still get to where your child is supposed to. After all, your husband was not born abroad. He was born locally. Now he can afford to do anything. So your son will also be like that. Relax." So the woman said to relax. "Where am I going? What some of us would have thought was an advantage. One man said, lie, I will not let it happen to me because I have seen what it did to my boss's family." Now, was that why the boy, that happened to the boy? I don't know. I'm not judging it. I hope you're getting my point. I'm just telling you somebody's story. Where am I going, eh? This is Jesus Christ. We have chosen to follow him. We have given our lives to him. Many people, one of the reasons why they can't follow him effectively is the natural blessing he gave them. That is when he has given them a natural blessing, it now becomes a problem. That's why I'm giving us an example. You now hear things like, you can do ministry anywhere. Have you ever heard that thing before? Now, in case you have not heard it, you did not know, it's a lie. Ministry is tied, this is how it is. How do I say it now? I'm looking for a proper word. Who can read my heart and interpret the tongue for me? I don't want to use the word assignment. I'm looking for one word. It's a call, but it doesn't tell me the thing I want to say. Okay, ministry is a message. What do I mean by this? If I tell you, go and tell JK, do you get my point? To make my shirt short sleeve. You can't say, there are people making clothes in Abakwa. There are those making clothes in Lagos. There are those making clothes in Paris. You just go and say, "Pastor said that shirt that he gave you, please, make it short sleeve." You know, the person is going to look like, "Excuse me." Do you get my point? That's what I mean. Ministry is what? A message. Somebody sends you with a word to somebody. You don't deliver it just anywhere. That's where I was going. I can't tell you, go and tell my wife that I kept the house keys in her glove compartment. Is any woman driving that kind of car? Just tell the woman, "Stop. Hello, madam. Your husband said the key is in the glove compartment." Now, what will you do? You first say, where do I find her, sir? I say, "Oh, go to so-and-so place. She went to shop. So, all right?" Then you go there. "Hello, ma. Good afternoon. Are you Pastor Banky's wife?" "Yes." "Oh, he said I should tell you that in case you get back home before him, he left the spare keys in your glove compartment." I said, "Oh, thank you." That's how ministry is. You don't deliver the message to just anybody. You don't deliver it just anywhere you like. That's why you don't say just what you want to say. Your anointed is not enough. What do you say with the anointing is a different matter. Again, I like to drop things for preachers. It's not everything you preach. People have come to me before on what I should preach. I'm looking at them like, "Are you okay? Are you the one that called me to ministry?" Nobody does it these days. You know, I'm too old. Now, you know, when you are younger, some people think they can tell you things. Now, when you are old, in quotes, you have beards like I do, the people are more careful before they tell you things. Even if God sends them, they will pray hard before they tell you. But before, you know, you just wonder, like, "Excuse me." The people have said that you don't do this in kingdom. What I said, "Do you think I can do everything?" Look, there's a difference between a ministry and a church, what we call local assembly. There's a world of difference. A local assembly, everything must be involved. Do you get my point? But when it's a ministry, there's really one focus. What's the focus of kingdom world ministry? It's written clearly. Teaching the word of God. That is, there's a kind of teaching that comes. And it's not everything I teach about. How many times have you heard me do exegesis on the second coming of Jesus Christ? All I can tell you I've ever told you about is what? He's going to come again. And be ready. The signs of the times. You know what? You want to know the truth? I don't know it. How are you getting ready? Look, the sign is not going to change me. I don't know what is my point. Look, if you give me valid, look, you were passing through heaven, you overheard Jesus and the Father talking. And it's coming so year. And the year happens to be 600 years from today. Which means that I'm not likely to live that long. Do you get my point? I want to ask you a simple question. Is it going to change what I'm doing? You know why? Because I understand that there's what is called personal coming. For me, maybe tomorrow. Coming back for everybody to this earth is 600 years time. Thank you very much, but my own may be tomorrow. Now, what I'm going to say, so I don't have understanding of some of these. So I don't preach on them. That's one reason. See, again, many things to say to preachers. Anything you don't understand, don't preach. Even if you hear somebody else preach it. Stop preaching things that grow a church. You know, people do that. They go for a church growth seminar and go and learn what to preach to grow a church. You only preach what you can preach. Then this is a word people need to understand. Which you can preach by faith. What I mean by faith is not that I just close my eyes. Anything that comes out of my mouth, that's not what I mean by faith. Something you can speak with conviction. That's what I mean to preach by faith. Where am I going? So you see, ministry is not just anything you like to say. The fact that you are anointed. Anointed means you can teach, you can preach, whatever it is. What you preach is another story. You can misuse your anointing very well. See, if I decide to be selling handkerchiefs with my anointing, when I finish talking, all of you will buy. Whether you need or not, and you finish buying today, you come back tomorrow, you buy again. Why? The power to persuade is in my mouth. I have to tell myself it was not given to me to what? To sell handkerchiefs. Many preachers have said, one man used to show up on TV those days. You know what he used to sell? And I wonder, and he was introduced a pastor, so, selling herbs and medicines. You know, all these network marketing things. I said, remove the title now. You're going to get God offended, though. Where am I going? Ministry is not just what you like. It has a specific location. You have to pray to get your location. Once I was traveling to the U.S., long ago, I told my friend, I'll be going to the U.S. for some time. I'll be back after, a few weeks. He laughed. He said, are you sure you're going to come back? I was surprised. You know, there are things you hear. You can think that about me. I thought you knew me. So, not today. This, what I'm telling you is, this guy has not been born that time. So, it's quite a while ago. All right? I said, no, Abba. You know, I have a ministry too. He said, ministry can be done from anywhere. I didn't bother to say anything further. There's no need. If you can think like that, me and you are not thinking the same frequency. You want to know the truth? Ministry cannot be done anywhere. You were sent to a particular place. You were sent to there's a place of your apostleship. It's not everywhere you belong. See, if you're a pastor in Enugu, you can't just get up and decide you want to go and pastor in a Makurdi or go to Kaduna. It doesn't work. You can't just pack us, get up and say you have decided to go and pastor in South Africa. It doesn't work. You can't just get up and say you are going to Europe. They need Jesus. Who doesn't need? Everybody needs Jesus Christ. Jesus knows. Where you are living, they don't need Jesus there. Wherever you will go must be specifically determined by the Lord. You will find out through different ways. But at least, like I say all the time, just knowing this truth is half of the way there. Before you leave one place and go to another, you pray. You allow God to move you. Don't say, I can do this also there. No, it's not like that. It's his ministry. You can't just decide you will do this also there. Okay? That's an aside. Like I said, I like to drop a word once in a while for those of us who are in the preaching ministry. All right? We need to learn some of these things here and there. Now, back to the main thing I'm saying. So when you say life is not fair, actually it is fair. You know why? Because what you think is a disadvantage, at the end of the day, is an advantage for some people. What do you think is an advantage, at the end of the day, can come out to be a disadvantage. Now, you know why I'm saying this? A man came to Jesus once. He said, what must I do to get eternal life? Jesus said to him, you know the law. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. He gave him a list of them. He said, these are things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Then Jesus said to him, all right, we will solve it. Now, go and sell all you have. And give to the poor. Then come and follow me. Then you'll find eternal life. Now, this is what I want you to understand. Now, let me take a small digression, okay? And talk about that for a moment. One of the things that Jesus achieved by that is to let him know he doesn't want it enough. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You don't seem to be following me. One of the things that Jesus achieved by that is to let him know he didn't want eternal life strongly enough. Yeah, that's one of the things he achieved with that. That if you really want it, you'll find it. Now, you want it in addition to what you have. Your wealth is more important to you than eternal life. And eternal life is never given to anybody that doesn't want it more than every other thing. It's the reason why Esau lost his inheritance to Jacob. Because Jacob wanted him more than anything. That's an aside, okay? But let's continue. What happened to that man? He left sad. Why? He had to give up everything. Now, this is where I'm going. Do you know if that guy was a regular civil servant? I just want to use it to illustrate something. If he was a regular civil servant working for the Roman government, all right, and being paid some money every month, now, do you think it would have been hard for him to follow Jesus. No, it wouldn't have been difficult. Yeah, for common sense reasons. Because following Jesus was actually another job. You know, it was a kind of job. You walked and you were taken care of. Like somebody said, you saw the dress Jesus was wearing. All the disciples had one. That's the 12. According to was Bishop. According to him, that Bishop Oyedepo, he said that was why they needed somebody to kiss him at the end. He said if his clothes were so different, it wouldn't have been hard. So just go to that guy that wears those beautiful, do you understand? Just, you know him now. If everybody was wearing knicker and, one of our brothers here, no mention, how he used to dress on Monday morning and Tuesday morning. If everybody was dressed like that, you know, he just come out on Tuesday. It would have been easy for them to say, just go there, see the Baba, he's wearing agbada, his boys are all wearing knicker. You know, they don't need Judas to do that. Now, that's just, now, we can't be dogmatic about that. Okay, we're just trying to make a joke of it. All right? But the point that they were taken care of. So if that man was a regular civil servant, it wouldn't have been difficult for him to sell. What did he even have? What would he even have had? Sell what? There was no need. To leave all and follow him would not have been very difficult. Do you get my point? Now, where I'm going with all of this, people of God, all right, is this. For us to follow the Lord, we must be ready to sell everything. See, if you have a PhD and you are the most brilliant person in your school, if God says your destiny now is to go and join those taking care of refugees, you go. Your co-workers will be primary school leavers alone. You'll be thinking, excuse me, could not I have better used my skill? Why am I the one here coordinating food distribution to refugees? Jesus will say, wait, whose life is it? It's mine. You gave it to me. Do not I have a right to do as I wish with what belongs to me? The answer is yes. So, please, that's what I want. And he did it in the Bible. Some people came, walked only 1 hour. They all closed at, is it 5 or 6 p.m.? Some started work at 9 in the morning. 6 p.m., thank you. Some started at 9 in the morning. How many hours is that? 9 hours. Some started at 12. Some started at 5 p.m. No, different times, all right? Some started at 5 p.m. So let's take the two extremes. Those started by 9 and those started by 5. 9 hours to 1 hour. Some started by 5 in the evening, some started by 9, all right? So, you know, very funny. The Lord is very funny. You know who he paid first? The guys who did 1 hour. And he gave them a full day's pay. So those guys who work 9 hours, they say, we don't hammer. If he could pay those guys for a full day, what will he do for us? When it was their turn, they said, okay, are you guys done? Yes, sir. Here's your pay. They checked. Excuse me, sir. You give us 1 denarius. And Jesus said, is that not a full day pay? Yes, sir, it is. But those guys who work for 1 hour, you pay them the same thing. He said, please, how is it your business? Is this your full day's pay? Yes. Leave it. But you get... did I negotiate with all of you at the same time? What you paid them was excess. Is it not my money? Is it your money? It's not your money. I'm willing to do... He said, why are you jealous that I'm generous with what is mine? This money is not yours. It's mine. I can do anything I like with it. If you say you gave my life, your life to me, and I gave you a PhD ahead of time, so you came into my service with a PhD, and I say what I want to do is have a PhD holder distributing food. This is not my money. This is not my PhD. This is not my life. Why do you think you are too big for what God wants to use you for? Now that statement, please don't ever forget it. Why do you think you are too big for what God wants to use you for? People oftentimes destroy themselves. They are so dissatisfied with life because they feel they are better than where God has kept them. You are very intelligent. You came from a very rich background. And God says, go and be playing with children in a school. I want to use your intelligence to establish the fundamentals of life for people between the age of 5 and 10. Christians, please, that is what I'm preaching today. Feel privileged to serve God. The problem a lot of us have is that we actually, now listen to this carefully. A lot of us are not serving God. We are serving ourselves. We are using God to serve ourselves. Did you hear what I said? No, it's a problem. It's a problem. Look, it's a matter of fact. That is, what am I serving ourselves? Listen, I need a good wife. I need to be rich, all right? I need to have good children to live after me and all of that. So how do I get it? Give your life to Christ. He will give you a good business. He will give you a good wife. He will give you good children. He will take care of everything. People say, eh, is that so? Yes. So they come give their life to Christ. Actually, they came and struck a deal with God. Somebody lied to them that is how you connect with the deal with God. They never gave their lives to Christ. And I'm saying to people today, if you are listening to this, ask yourself, did I give my life to Christ or I struck a deal? This is coming to my mind the second time. All right? And I'm going to say it. I didn't want to say it the first time, but it's coming again. There is nothing wrong if you are discovering the truth and you want to backslide. Please backslide quick. I know some people say, Pastor, what did you say? I know what I said. You are not welcome in the body of Christ. Jesus doesn't want you. Know it now so that you and him won't quarrel later. See, don't worry. There's no problem yet. You know why? You have not yet tasted of the good word of God. You've not seen the powers of the age to come. Somebody just dragged you to church. Did you see the man the other day that was sending Paul an angel, Pastor Paul, to return all his money to him? Yeah, many of us may have. The guy did a video and said, please, this heaven, I don't want to go again. Yeah, he used those words. How many people here saw the video? Good, a number of people. He said, look. He said, this is my tithe booklet. He said, can I have my tithe back? That things are rough. They have to pay his workers. He doesn't have money. That he checked the amount of tithe he has paid, that it came up to a tidy sum of money. And that this is not the only one, though, that there is seed he sowed, that those seeds, that he doesn't have proof of payment. But the tithe he has, that somebody should please beg Pastor Paul and Angel of Dunamis to please return all his money. That he has evidence for tithe. That there are branches he has joined to plant, but he doesn't have evidence for the amount of money he spent. That there are all kinds of seeds, prophets, offering, all of that he has done. But he doesn't have evidence. But the tithe one, they have a tithe record. He says it's called kingdom investment. This is his kingdom investment. That this heaven, I don't want to go again. Can they return all his money? I don't know how the church settled it. He got on his knees. Oh. He said, please, I'm begging you. Things are rough. That the reward in heaven, I don't want it. I laughed. You know why I laughed? Even though I felt sorry for him. But why I laughed is that I said, this man never believed. People didn't realize it. He didn't backslide. He never believed. See, there are those who backslid. This guy never believed. He was a businessman. But being an African, he was superstitious. He believed in some things of that realm. So they said this is how to tackle the things of that realm. So he came in. Then he has gotten frustrated. As far as I'm concerned, that guy has not changed one bit. He just saw that this stock market is not working. He just saw that this cryptocurrency he invested in, spiritual currency, crypto, is not, because hidden crypto is spiritual, all right? It's not working. He just saw it's not working and decided to pull back. And those are the people I'm giving that word to. If you are listening to me, please join that man and get out. There is a chance for you in front too. Why I believe there's a chance for you in front is because you don't qualify for those who have tasted the good word of God, who have tasted the power of the age to come. You haven't tasted anything. You are a confused person. You are still investing for yourself. You never chose to serve God. You came serving yourself. I was supposed to say that some minutes ago, but I felt it was not a good thing to say. But it came up again. I said, no, I shall not quench the spirit. Okay, somebody's hearing it now. Tomorrow is Sunday. Don't go to church. Send them a message, I'm not coming again. Because there's one black guy from Enugu that said that this investment is not registered with Corporate Affairs Commission. Or what's the name of that other? This is that regulates our stock market in Nigeria. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. So this is investment is not good. Yeah, the SEC, thank you. That is not registered with the SEC. So let's just leave it. So you have realized that you are going out. What I'm saying is many people, all they are doing is serving themselves. You see them in church, they are very diligent. It is because God said tomorrow, I will make you rich. You raise an offering, they give. Why? Because it will come back to them multiplied. If you are like that, please, I beg you, go and backslide nicely if you don't want to follow. But better still, let me preach another message to you. Give your life to Christ. That's the second part of it. Now, give your life to Christ. You were baptized before, hey, come back. That one is not valid. That one, you know, there are different baptisms. We're studying that on Friday. All right? There are different baptisms. There's baptism of John, but there's a baptism into Christ. You were not baptized into Christ. You were baptized into an investment. So return now. Let us baptize you into Christ. And see, I'm not joking. I know when I'm joking. Somebody excited you with the opportunity to secure your future physically on this earth. And the Bible makes it clear, if that is the only hope we are preaching, we are making you miserable people. If only in this whole world we have hope, Paul said, we are of all men most to be pitied. So people, somebody told you, listen, there's investment. Secure your journeys. Secure. So for you, you have paid for everything by being dunked in water first and paying tithes and joining a church where you pay tithes regularly. You give first fruits once a year. And you participate in contributing money. You never were born again because a wrong thing was set in front of you. You want to know what it means to be born again? That's what I'm preaching to you. It is to empty yourself and give yourself to Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be born again. Now, let me tell you what that implies. He sets your ambition. When you gave your life to Christ, you may have a PhD. And God says, you know what you're going to do? You're a woman, right? Yeah, good. There's one guy I want you to marry. Marry that fellow. What will I do for him? Two of you will do ministry. He'll be the one preaching. You'll be the one just supporting him. You learn to pray. You will pray. Ah, PhD prayer. You will pray. You will pray at night. You will pray during the day. Your primary assignment is to pray. Now, you are going to pray for two sets of people. One, this is your husband and the ministry I give to him. And then I'm going to bring some young people around you and some other women like yourself. You are going to pray for them. See, once your husband is not around, you are praying. When other people have gone to work, you have scriptures you are reading out. You don't know prayer is work. There are some people, God gave them life so they can pray. I'm not kidding about that. All of us pray. We prayed this morning before we started this meeting. Before that, the co-workers in Kingdom World Ministries had gathered to pray. All right? This morning in the house, I prayed. I wake up during the night, I pray. That's all of us pray. Okay? But there are people that, as I'm preaching, they are jobbies. You are preaching. I literally am praying. And we're simple like that in the scriptures. Of course, two beautiful examples we have, Hannah and Simeon. I listened to Sadhu explain that there are people that are so old that you wouldn't believe if you saw them. One particular one he mentioned. At the time he told his story, when he was last seen, he was 400 years old. Now, don't go and quote this outside that I said. I'm not the one that said it to. I didn't see the person. Like my son was telling me this morning, I was not there. My hand, no day. But I heard that man, and he's a credible man. I believe him. All right? And that's not the only person. In fact, just so that you know, that's the reason why I said when Jesus said concerning John, that he said, look, that thing, you can take it literally. There are those who will live hundreds and thousands of years. Why? That is why I'm talking about. Now, just by the way, he said there are plenty. That they are dotted here and there. But the one I'm talking about, so what does he do? He prays. And that God actually moves him around. His main base is somewhere on one mountain, somewhere on that side. But there are times maybe a church is having issues, maybe in Africa. All right? He comes all the way from Asia. God brings him. Maybe he comes for the service because God can make him appear different. And he looks at what is going on and he takes it back and makes it a matter of prayer. That God has planted people everywhere. Now, God can take a woman, that's what I was saying, sit down, pray, raise your children, support this ministry, be the brain behind all of these things, but you'll never be prominent. PhD or no, that's your problem. And let me tell you something about education so everyone will understand it, okay? God trains people different ways. Is that okay? Education has one job. It is to get you educated. You go to primary school, you know why? So you can learn to read and to write. You have to be literate in this life. It's not good to be illiterate, unable to read or write. And it's not good to be a fool. Now, please, that's not supposed to be an insult. Is that okay? That's a biblical word. Some people don't like when I say it. I hope it's not a biblical word. The Bible says, don't be a fool. It's all about the scriptures, you know. Now, who are the people that Solomon calls fools? If you go and read Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, you see the word fool, fool, fool. Fool is not like being a useless person, Raka, that Jesus talked about in the New Testament. All right? Being a fool in Solomon's usage is being ignorant. And I'm sorry to say this. Most people who vote are fools. Most people who comment on government issues, they are fools. They have recommended minimum wage for the federal government to approve. If you ask them, how do you arrive at that figure? They give you the cost of things in the market. So where would the government get money from? They have no idea. How much did the government make this year? They have no idea. What is the current liabilities on the government? They have no idea. You ask them so many questions. What would be the impact of this amount of cash being released into the society? They have no idea. Just give us money. The Bible says you're a fool. Now, please, don't be angry. You're just a fool. Are you getting my point? Don't feel like nobody insulting you. It just means you don't know economics. You're not knowledgeable enough to have a conversation with. Have you ever tried to converse with people who don't know anything about things they don't know about, that you know about? You'll be so frustrated. I told you one of the arguments I had with somebody once, I was on diet. I've had it with people again and again. I wonder, I argue and I'm like, excuse me, come. Do you know who you are talking to? And I just want to ask, because sometimes maybe you don't know. Not as if I know everything, but you know there's a level you get to. Like now, if I want to argue something on banking practices, an apostle wife comes in, you know, whatever she says is final. Whether she's wrong or right, I should have enough sense to know that this is where she works. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So, being a fool is nothing but being ignorant, not knowing things in life. And you should not be. Like I tell my children, I say, no. Don't just play games. Eh? When you go to YouTube, get things that educate your mind. So you can have an intelligent conversation with people. If they are talking about presidential debates in America, don't just open your mouth. I don't like Joe Biden. Why? If you don't know why, don't get involved in that conversation. The Bible says even a fool, when he keeps his kids quiet, is what? Considered wise. So what's in American debate? Man, debate, man. Guys, I got to go eat, man. So you leave. They think you just don't want to talk. They don't know that you can't even spell debate. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, what am I trying to emphasize? So education makes you a human being. It makes you, when they talk, all right, about the temperature of the sun, you can relate with it. When they talk about the distance between here and the moon, you can relate with it. When they say they are launching something to Mars, you can understand how difficult it is, even though you can't really, but at least you can have a conversation. That is what education does for you. It makes you human. Do you follow what I'm going to say? It doesn't guarantee anything. It was not designed to make you a multimillionaire. The richest people on the earth are not necessarily the most educated. With degrees now. I talk about Richard Branson, that the guy was, when you say dropout, there are different kinds of dropouts. Do you get my point? Bill Gates was a dropout. But it's not the kind of dropout you're thinking of. He failed and couldn't pay school fees. No. He was passing, could pay school fees, but he was busy. So he left the school. Just that they call all of them dropouts. They should subclassify this dropout thing. Eh? They should subclassify it. Let's know who failed to drop out and who dropped out because they were too big for the school. All right? So there are some. But then, Richard Branson was a proper dropout. He could hardly read. He's dyslexic. Yeah, he's dyslexic. Calculations disturb his mind. To read is stress for him. But he became a billionaire. One man going to get a job as a janitor. Very nice guy. So the employer said, please sign here. He said, I can't write. You can't even sign your name. He said, no. He said, sorry, we can't employ you. So he left the place, started a business. After many years, he became a multimillionaire. So one day they interview him on TV, say, you have no education? He said, no. And he became a multimillionaire. What if you just had basic education? What would it have been? He said, I would have been a janitor. He said, I would have been, because he came from his village, he said, I would have been a janitor. I'm just trying to emphasize something to us. Eh? So your education is just to make you educated. It's not determining your ministry. I hope you're getting my point. Don't be using your plenty degrees to decide where God must take you to in life. Now, what does it mean to die? That's the point I'm making. He said, he must take up his what? Cross. And do what? Follow me. Now, what does a cross mean? Let me start with a cross. Cross is a sign you are going to be executed. Did you hear what I said? What is a cross? It's a sign that you are going to be executed. What does it mean to carry your cross? It means face your execution. Go in the direction of losing your life for my sake. That was what Jesus was saying. When he said, you must cross, carry your cross how often?
Daily.
So every day. That's what he was saying. Get ready to lose your life for my sake. Every day the Lord Jesus says, get ready to lose your life for my sake. Every day, get ready to lose your life for my sake. You know, when I began this, what I was going to teach to us some time ago, maybe I can put a bit of it in here now. And I kept on saying that, why do we worship? Why do we worship? That God does not ask anything for himself. Anything he asks is for our good. Now, this was where I kept on getting to then. I will now leave that thing. Let me see what I can put it in today before I leave. This is why we worship. It is the way by which, now listen to this carefully. Now, let me put it this way. I don't know how many of us know how they do things, all right? That manufacture things, manufacture. Maybe you want to make a case for this device or this device now, all right? You first make a mold. You know what they call a mold, all right? Now, the mold is made with a dummy of this device. Do you understand? Okay? Like this plastic that they have, all right? You have to put like a dummy. Then you make, let's just make a simple one, clay. You can use a clay mold. Then when you do that, you now have to remove the dummy stuff and inject the real substance. Maybe you wanted to make glass now. You take a kind of material, put the clay around it until the clay hardens. Then you remove the stuff that is inside and then inject the molten glass inside. As an example, please, if I'm wrong in this, those of you who know details of engineering, don't be laughing at me. I'm a fool in that area. Do you get my point? You know what to call fools? Doesn't mean I'm an idiot. Just means I'm not knowledgeable in that area. But this basic thing, you know I can use it to help people, right? Engineers, thank you very much, all right? Now, so what are you doing now? To make that thing, you inject the real substance you want to use and expel the one you use to make the mold. Are you catching this?
Yes.
Now, listen to me. What happened to Adam at the beginning? The Adam you knew, is fake. What do I mean? He's the one that God used to make the mold. To bring the real man out, what God now would do is to come, sit down, breathe the Spirit of Christ into that Adam, and eject the old man. I hope I get my point. The new man always was the aim of God. The old man was the initial material used to make the mold. So that mold has to now be injected with the spirit of the new man. When you give your life to Christ, you have signed up for injection. Do you get my point? Now, you know, the Bible makes it clear. The old man in his funny state still remains. He has to be removed. So this is what God does daily to make us into what we really are supposed to be. In the process of worship, what is it doing? It's removing the old and replacing it what? With the new. Now, he does it a number of ways. One of the ways by which he does it involves our conscious participation. What do I mean? That's what Jesus was saying when he talked about you take up the cross. Now, and you die. You take up the cross daily. Bits of you must be killed daily for the life of Christ to be manifested in you. I don't know what I heard I said. Bits of you must be killed daily for the life of Christ to be manifested in you. Let me give you an example. Sometimes God works on you for 5, 6, 7, 8 years to kill your ambition. You know why? Because the old man built that ambition growing up. By the time you are 16, you have made up your mind in this life, you must be rich. There are different ways God kills the ambition. One, maybe you gave your life to Christ when you were 20. Fine. But you know what? That ambition has not gone away. The day you give your life to Christ, what changes is your spirit. Now let me put it this way. What is your spirit? The direction you are facing. What you want to, that is the ultimate pull for your life is what changes. But you come out of being born again, baptism, whatever it is, you know, you still look the way you looked. You sounded the way you sounded. Do you understand? The only difference is that you started loving some things that you did not love before, which is not the word of God. All right? But you see, beyond just drinking the sincere milk, when you want to, like, for example, you want to talk, you know, you talk with the same accent. You speak the same bad grammar. Do you get my point? You give your life to God, doesn't teach you grammar. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, but then you now start developing. Now, part of the old man, all right, is as an example, that ambition. It doesn't go away. Now, you have a new, now let me just say this to you. Light and darkness, you know, heard the word, light and darkness cannot dwell in the same place. No, it's not true. They can. Light can dwell with darkness. You just have a duty to remove darkness. And we see that from Genesis. What did God do? He separated the light from the darkness. That's one job every Christian has. You can be born again. Or darkness is still inside your heart. Yeah, how do I know? Simon the sorcerer. What did Peter say to him? I can see that you are still in the gall of bitterness and what? The bondage of iniquity. A man who was born again, who was baptized by Philip. No, some people think that he wasn't born. He was born again. No. People of God, he was born again. I hope you know he let go of his powers. No, the guy had powers. Powers he had not used. Some of them, he had never touched them. He had never used them. He was still only... Can we open our Bibles? Let's read the story of that guy so that we'll understand what I'm saying. I need to emphasize this point. I think I'm really getting to the main thing I've been trying to bring out for some time. Let me see what I can do it in about 15 minutes, so we'll leave here. Peter was speaking after they went to help, what's his name? Philip. All right? Acts chapter 8. I need to just give us a background to it. Go to verse 9. He said, now there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, this man is what is called the great power of God. And they were giving him attention for a reason, because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. What's the next verse? Please read the first four words for me. Read it loud. Next four words. Let's stop there. Now, please, who wants to tell me this guy didn't believe? Please, don't have the boldness to say what the Bible said the opposite. You want to know the truth? Simon himself believed. Not only did he believe, he was baptized. Next sentence. What happened to him next? He continued on with Philip. Can you see the point? One, the Bible tells clearly he believed. Two, he baptized. Three, he continued with Philip. You want to tell me he was not a Christian? Brethren, he was a Christian, like most of us are. But then, the flesh had not been dealt with. The flesh had not been replaced. Remember that mood we're talking about? Something still needed to be pushed out of him. He had opened the door now for the Spirit of God to come. But the work had to be done. Light and darkness, they coexisted. Look at his life. For time's sake, we won't read everything. But you know what happened? After he saw that Peter and John came, where are we now? Now, verse 14. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of hands of the apostles, he offered them money, saying, give me this authority. Let's not go into that. What did Peter say to him? May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. He said, you have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right with God. That is, it is possible to believe, and your heart is not fully right with God. Sorry, am I lying here? It's clear. It's possible to be a church member, and your heart is not right. You know, these days I hear things, and my ears will tingle. That you mean Christians said this? Christians behave like this? There are things you hear, and you're like, how can in church, brethren gather to do this? It is because we don't realize that it's possible for people to be in church and their hearts are not right with God. Please, one target you have for your life, if you want to make it with God, if you want to truly prosper in this life, say, Lord, give me the Nathaniel spirit. A true Christian indeed, in whom there is no guile. That is, Lord, let me not have ulterior motives for what I'm doing. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's important. See, I say it all the time. It's a problem God has on the earth. His hand is not shortened that he cannot deliver. But have we made ourselves the kind of presence he wants to walk through? Imagine if Peter and John were not the kind of presence they were. If they were senior Johns, if they were senior Simons. Say, your seed will speak for you. He brings the money. Praise God. These men are committed to ministry. Come forward. Come on, wire. As you speak, so shall it be. When you lay, sometimes the anointing might move. The anointing is very funny. Sometimes I can't predict it. It might move. Then Simon will do that to another set. Then after a while, you have a congregation of sorcerers. You have an association of sorcerers. One day I was talking to one man of God, great man of God, I'm like, in the word and in spirit. We're talking. He said, well, this man has a problem with this man. I think they should try and reconcile. He said, it's not like I believe what that man is doing. He said, they are both sorcerers. He said, they are sorcerers. He said, how do you say that? I see your face, I prophesy. I said, yeah, sorcerer. He said, well, a lot of the so-called prophets in the body of Christ, they say they are nothing but sorcerers. He was telling me. He said, I see their billboards, I see their posters everywhere. He said, they are sorcerers. And I've told you, listen, this is how you know sorcerers. See, there's one guy, his billboard is at that junction, looking cool, very handsome guy. This guy is a bloody sorcerer. Yeah, no, they're all over the place. Oh, no, people don't know it. Christians, be careful. It's not everybody you follow. Look, anytime you want to listen to someone for the first time, tune your ears, not physical ears, not spiritual ears. This guy preaching the truth of God or just shouting accurate words with the sorcerer spirit. They are all over the place. Look, that girl that Paul delivered, that's what they call sorcery. Yeah, she was saying things that were accurate. She was saying things that was accurate. One man described how he went into a meeting where the mediums were operating. The first thing they did when he entered was to sing Amazing Grace. That's what they used to start the service of sorcery. Please be careful. It's not everywhere you go. Once you see everybody going in one direction, just ask yourself, what are they doing there? What starts is when John and Peter are not discerning or their hearts are not pure themselves. Then they collect the silver and gold that the Simons of this world bring. When they've collected it, they've started a chain because Simon will also make his own from those he will impart the spirit to. After a while, the Holy Spirit, it cardboards them. Do you get my point? And go and check it. Then the evil spirit comes, takes the place. A spirit of sorcery takes over the whole place. You see whole congregation in which when they start worshiping, demons starts dancing. And you think you went to church. It's so terrible that in Nigeria of today, we have so many of such churches. Nothing but and listen, if you're looking for sorcery, that is where you will see power. They're always seeing visions. Oh God. See, when it comes to vision, it's their life. Everything is a vision. And of course, you know where the visions start, where it ends? Your enemies. See, they usually can't. There are certain powers God didn't grant them. Let me not start discussing them now. Go and check it. They don't do true miracles. Whatever thing they do doesn't last. Anybody gets involved with them, their homes break after a while. They will separate a man from his wife. There was one I read about in the papers. Eh? This guy went to beg police to deliver his wife from a pastor. That his wife had been bewitched. That is, he had to go to the police. He said, we don't involve, that is like, we don't have a spiritual department to investigate spiritual issues. The man, you know, I read the papers. I felt sorry for him because I knew what was going on, except that he went to the wrong place for help. The pastor had used prophecy to capture his wife. Capture her money. Capture everything. Destroyed his family with prophetic words. See, let me tell you, some people won't like what I'm about to say. See, those false prophets in this country, they will be destroyed. Amen. Look, they have to be. See, if you don't destroy them, the church won't go anywhere. They have to be destroyed. They will be. They build large congregations with sorcery. And people like sorcery. People love sorcery. They love sorcery. They love sorcery. You know why? Someone that Kelly said, talking about Mew. May pastor they try to see small now. This means that I should be seen. Do I look blind to you? What do they call sin? Now, please, let me tell you about the operation of the word of God. Now, everybody has his own anointing. I have friends, brethren who see. They are called seers. They are prophets. I'm not one of them. They are not bad people. They don't do what I do. I don't do what they do. Do you get my point? Yeah. They are anointed. God reveals. I was talking to one of our sisters the other day. Now, let me tell you something about the word of God. The word of God is beautiful. She told me a story. I think I've shared a bit of it before. So we're talking. She told me a story. Somebody she was trying to help with some things. When she finished, I just said to her, that's a demon. I described the spirit, what it does and all of that. You understand? Why did I say it? Based on understanding. I just said, this is a demonic operation. This one, I just explained. She said, oh, no, I know. She said, I've seen the spirit. I didn't see. I wasn't there. I heard the story. Based on understanding, I just said, this is what is going on. And she said, I know. And she described for me what the spirit looked like if you were to see it with physical eyes. He said, no, I know. And I said to her, don't cast the spirit away. Don't. Leave the spirit there. He said, no. Yes, I get your point. I said, if you do, that guy is going to be destroyed entirely. He said, leave him. I said, what you are doing is all you can do. We have to talk about it. So why do you say what you said? I said, hey, if you cast out that spirit, that guy is not born again. He's not filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, that spirit will come. If you tell that spirit to go, it will go. If you insist, it will leave. But because you don't have control over that life, I said it will return according to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, with seven spirits more wicked. I said, leave him, let him enjoy himself. I said, right now he's at peace. Oh, at peace. He's fully at peace. If you see him, you think he made the right decision. If you don't see the decisions, you can see from scripture, it's all demonic. It's all demonic. She was just telling me about it. I said, I don't know, not somebody I know. Just know, we're just exchanging gist. I said, demonic operation. Where I'm going is that I heard it. I said, no. By my understanding of the things of the spirit, it's a demon. But somebody who has the prophetic insight, do you get my point? Say, I saw the spirit. So that's me. I don't see. Where I'm going is that me, I see small. I don't need to see small. I don't need to tell you how many times, it's no longer worthy. Sorry, Lord, I'm not taking anything away from you too. But you know, it's like maybe you're going on the road now, all right? Somebody dashes you 1,000 naira. You. Won't you thank God? Will you go and be testified by, hey, praise God, today I got 1,000? Not likely. Because you've given out 10,000, you've given out the 100,000, you've given out 20, you've given a million. You know, like 1,000, even though it's money, it's not the kind of money you want to be testifying about, even though you are grateful to God. Now, where am I going with the whole story? I don't even testify anymore of when people tell me I was preaching and I described them. It has happened so many times, I don't talk about it. I'll preach one message, four people will hear me describe their life totally, and I didn't know them. I didn't even know they came for the meeting. The valley people are sitting in the overflow, or they're watching online. And I'm describing them. People have given me testimony how they built a whole life on things that I said. One brother, his own was very funny. So I was about to do this. I said, let me put in one of your messages. And when you were preaching, you said this, and you described exactly the place where I was. Now, you want to know the truth? Let him play that tape tomorrow. You won't hear that in there. let him give it to you. You will look for the thing ahead. You will start from the beginning to the end, looking for what this guy had. You'll be looking for, where is this guy? Is this guy okay? He's the spirit of God. The spirit has gone out and gathered them. That's what the Bible says. The spirit rides upon the words. Now, where I'm going, that people love sorcery. What they want is for me to come and be telling them that, you see, you're not married yet, are you? Okay, good. So, yeah, very good example. All right. Say that woman that you greeted yesterday. I describe her. She was wearing a pair of trousers, green, and this and that. And you're like, eh? She's actually a cousin of yours. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, Papa. Yes, Papa. What have I told you now you didn't know? And I'm accurate. I'm right. It's called a familiar spirit. And you go out and go and say, man, that guy has power. I've used sorcery to deceive you. When I now tell you to bring your money, otherwise you'll go mad next year. See, if you don't bring that money, even if God does nothing, you go still mad. You know why? I will worry you in your mind so much. What I've told you now, I've seen a man do it. Say, you go to the front, you're about to go mad. I am not kidding. He said, you go to the front. You are going to die next day. Go to the front. Hey, you are going to go missing next day. You are going to be kidnapped. The funny part is that if you see the size of the congregation, if you see people love sorcery, but they can't sit down to hear the truth. We've taken a digression there, all right? Just to help people, please watch out. Don't let sorcerers take over your life. Back to the matter we have here. Thank God Peter was not like that. Thank God John was not like that. But you notice something. Now, I've taken a full digression. Let's get back to the main thing. You notice something. That Peter said to this man. Have you read that portion? Eh? Are you sure? No, we haven't read it. Okay, I think I just referred to it. Yeah. Peter said, therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours. Verse 22. And pray the Lord that if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that... Now, that's where I'm going. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity. This is somebody who has believed. Oh, I'm going to stop reading here. I see. Now, for those who think he hasn't believed. See, it was his flesh acting up because he did a very nice line. Repentance came. He said, pray for me yourselves so that nothing of what you've said may come upon me. The man, at this point in time, the heart had turned towards God. It's just that it was not fully right yet. Do you get my point? And listen, all of us are like that to one extent or the other. During Dami's program last week, one brother said something, and Dami laughed. He was asking a question. He said that, how do I obey God in this particular area and all of that? So Dami now said, the guy said that I have some areas that they are not a problem. So Dami said, like which area? He said, for example, I don't steal. So I work where there's money, but doesn't really tempt me. Dami laughed. I said, and when I got up, I also said the same thing. I said, that's what Peter told Jesus Christ. That's exactly what Peter told Jesus. I can't deny you. You said, no, I can't steal. You're asking for help where you think the word is powerful, obeying God is hard, but you think this area is small. I said, you will steal. I said, let me assure you, if you go on like this, you will steal. Why? Self-confidence. Which also happened to Peter. I said, you will steal. Where I'm going? This man went and asked for prayer. That's the only way to obey the Lord. He asked for prayer, which shows that his heart had turned towards God, but it was not yet fully right. Do you get my point? Now, but my emphasis here is that notice that darkness was in him and it was manifesting. And I'm saying, what is God's aim? To remove darkness from inside each one of us, like Simon needed to have it removed from his life. That's what I'm explaining. And there's a deliberate cooperation we must get involved in with the Lord. We must deliberately go to him and say, Lord, because what he will do is manifest. He will reveal, like this one now. Simon didn't know that he was sitting in the gall of bitterness. Of course, you may have heard me explain this. That look, what was the gall of bitterness? This is my interpretation, maybe by the Holy Spirit, but this, I just painted an imaginary picture of it. What was his issue? The desire. Small aside. Is that okay? Can I go there? One of the things that I realized in this life that has destroyed people, the most especially Christians, is pride. Now, let me tell you something about pride. Was it this man that said it? What is his name? C.S. Lewis, one of these men. No, one of those great men, not C.S. Lewis. One of those British men of those days, English preachers. They said that pride is the only sin that by its nature you can't feel guilty of. I don't know the other point. That if you are proud, you will not think you are proud. Now, let me add my words. By the time you are feeling you are proud, you have become humbled. Are you getting my point? That a truly proud man thinks he's humble. And you know what? There are even people who are proud of their humility. Honestly, pride is very dangerous. It's subtle. Yeah. Even me, I go look myself in the mirror sometimes. I shake my head. Say, thank you. The problem with pride is that you won't even know. You know, if I steal your money, I know I took your money. If I'm proud, I don't know. Let me tell you, the only thing you can do with pride, pray about it. Tell God to keep you humble. And let Please realize what is humbling you. Like one day you come out on the road, eh? And you don't have money. You don't have a good car. Your car is expensive. And you come out on the road. Your wife went out after you, so she locked the door. And you left your ATM card in the house. You want to take keke, and there's no money. So the only way to get to where you are going in a hurry is to stand on the road and be looking for lift and trekking. Don't be angry, oh. Why will my wife lock the door? Why won't she lock the door? What's wrong with you? She left. She's only one now. And they now try to call her. You know, it's a good thing to do. So that you know. The number you have called is not. Because she told she was going for a meeting. And inside the meeting, they quench phone. See, when you see things like that, don't be angry. Just know it's my day of humbling. Humility is my portion. Just look at your shoes. Is it a trekking one? Just start trekking. Trek. Look, just trek. Just be trekking. Trek. Trek to where you are going. It's God that is humbling you. So the one who came, this happened to him one day. He stopped on the road. He wanted to first make noise. Rose said they showed him that his papers had expired. So he brought out his phone to call. We have a Rose City brother that if you call him, the Lord will use him to deliver you. He called. Sorry. You are, how did they say when you don't have credit? Your account balance is insufficient for this call. Ah, the guy said, okay, let me quickly buy airtime from the bank app. You're out of network. The guy looked. He stood there as they booked him, charged him, fined him. And the angels were like, you know what they call toying? Avengers ever toying you before. You're toying you like that. Is God you're just saying to him, today is your day of humbling. You have stopped praying. You started raising shoulder. And you didn't know. I mean, it's not your fault that you know people now. Is it your fault that you are so powerful? Is it your fault that you are never out of airtime? But today, one angel swiped everything away. Maybe it's even his children went and made the call behind his back and left the phone running. You know, has it happened to you before? You call somebody. The person says, okay, sir. You thought you hung the phone. It's happened to you before. They bought my 45 minutes of airtime like that. I call one guy, notorious for not hanging up the phone. When he finished talking, he just drops the phone. Me, I thought the call had ended. I dropped the phone. 45 minutes we were talking. The phone was there. He was there. He couldn't get another call. Everybody calling us, the line was engaged. It was 45 minutes later I picked the phone and saw I was still talking to this little rascal. Maybe that's what happened to him that day. His airtime ran out. But it's the day of humbling. You know why I'm saying this? I have some thoughts in my mind. I'm sorry I'm judging some people, all right? But you don't know who they are. I've seen one of the greatest destroyers of men is this idea that they are better than other people. And they have to be better than other people. You see, people struggling to succeed just so that they can be more successful than their neighbor. There's one guy I have in mind. In that process, he resorts to lying. When this guy finishes telling lies, you realize the lies he's telling, they are a demonic problem. You know, my mother is a white woman. Pastor Bang, your mother is white. Yeah. Like, you know, now, you guys are laughing, but he tells lies that are that bad. Yeah, no. The lies he tells, they are that bad. For an adult. No, when I say they are that bad, they are lies that's obvious to everybody apart from him. So behind him, everybody looking at him and laughing. Say, don't mind him, he's not normal. Then his friend, they say, oh, yeah. They are smiling because of his rank. They are smiling looking at him. Behind him, they are shaking their heads. Now, what I've told you now, it sounds funny. Like, I'm telling you, he says things that are worse than I have said. As ridiculous as this sounded to you, he says things that are worse. And I asked myself, where did this start from? From childhood. This idea, they have to be better than other people. And you know what I found out? It's a very brilliant human being. With his brain. One of the, when you talk about intelligence, reading book, science, and knowing it, of these people you have ever met in your life, he would rank among the top 0.1%. I am not exaggerating what I told you. But that thing, do you understand? Always trying to raise head. You didn't know when he brought in evil spirits with it. This life, go and pray. God has to cure your pride. When the Bible says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Please, once you say, all these people with haughty spirit, you're already one of them. You're already one of them. And listen, many people, that's why God has not been able to answer their prayers. And that is why I don't like preachers who preach to Christians that God is doing for you because you did for him. Do you know why I'm prospering now? I know how much I give. It's pride. You've taken from God's glory and you are using it. It's pride. I know how much I give. That's why God is blessing me now. It's pride. It's the haughty spirit. You are raising your shoulder like God had no choice but to answer. Eh? Did you hear what I said? No. Have you ever talked like that? No, heaven had to move. Heaven was it? My God. This one that I blessed because his mother wouldn't leave me alone. That the only reason I bless this guy that's making his mouth like this now is because his mother, who he has been good to anyway, whatever be the reason, but the woman has the love of a mother and she's on her knees every day begging me. He said, you come, let me show you his heart. He doesn't love his neighbor. See, there's no woman that comes to work for him that he doesn't do like this for. In his heart, he commits adultery. I know he didn't do it physically, but you know we judge all of them. See, the last man I did business with, he changed the arrangement 4 times. And he's making him out. I know how many spirits have come into my presence to destroy him. But his mother wouldn't agree. His mother has recruited people. They are praying for him. They are praying for him. He's the only reason why I'm still alive. And he's making him out that I had to move. I moved for a reason he doesn't know. But he's making him out. Wait for his mother to die. God, they leave him. Shame he's making him out. Let him the sowing seed there. Then one day they call him. Your mother is dead. He didn't know he's supposed to say, my mother, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He didn't know. So he used his seed to bury her. Then his trouble will start. Nobody's praying for him again. Pride. Please fight it. You know what happened to Simon the sorcerer? Pride. All his life he wanted to be on top. He wanted to be big. And one of the reasons why look, again, some of you, you've answered call to ministry. It's your shortcut to greatness. Let me just tell you the truth. It's your shortcut to early grave. Because you go to a church where pastors are honored, people will enter. I told you one of my friends, the church he used to go to, one day someone of the young men, you know, you can imagine, where is Dominic? You know, someone like Dominic. All right? Who can I use? Where's Senior Dominic? Where? Okay. Let me use Ima. So maybe, Ma, you don't come to Kingdom World again. You've not been here for a long time. After 4 years, you now saw Dominic. That's young man there. I said, Dominic, Nick, how now? He said, wait, Pastor Dominic. And you look like, Dominic, am I your mate? You know, you're like, Dominic, hey, come here. What did you just say? Somebody did this to my friend. There's a church he used to go to. This was one of the young guys in church who were like, good morning, sir, carrying his bag, helping him. And I said, Dominic, how are you? The guy said, Pastor Dominic. But that his appearance had changed. He had done his hair one kind, or looking anointed, wearing a suit. And a friend came and said, Bank, is he waiting? I said, don't worry, the boy will see, I hope his mother is praying for him too, because some of us, we need. See, that is one major thing that destroys people, pride. That also happened to Simon. What am I saying? People of God, take up your cross. What do I mean? All this pride, this desire to be your own person, something you have created to be, Jesus said, you have to die. That portion of you must die. I must remove it from your life. Otherwise, you won't make any Christianity. Let me say something to you again as I close, all right? I said at the beginning, I want to end with it. Christianity is not a joke. It's not the way by which you manipulate God so that we can become what we want to be. No. Okay? I'll say it. If you want to be a Christian, you don't obey these words, God will destroy you. See, you can go and follow pastors who say that he doesn't destroy people. That's your problem. But he has put his word upon my mouth to let the people know that he judges. You can't follow him and follow other gods. What's your defense? Humble yourself and learn every day. Anytime I point out something that is wrong in your life, even if you don't want to accept openly, go and bring it to me in prayer. The Lord is saying, Pray until I remove what is wrong in your life. You are not going to enter into this eternal life with a crooked spirit. I hope you're getting my point. You have to be purged. You have to be purified. And the aim of our Christianity is that purging, is that purification. We are not here to get results. We are not here to prosper. We are not here to become rich. We are here to be purged and purified until God is satisfied with every bit of our lives. I believe in divine health. We are preaching that on Tuesday. I believe in prosperity. I preached on Tuesday, and I'm updating my book on Grace to Prosper. But in every time I have to preach that, I say it is secondary. What did John say? I hear that you are walking in what? The truth. It is walking in the truth that made him write to Gaius in that third letter that I desire, which is the will of God concerning you, above all else, that you prosper and be in health. He said, it's because I've seen your soul prosper. I've heard, he said, it makes me happy when I hear that my children are walking in truth. Walking in truth is first and foremost. Let me say that to you today as I close. God judges so. God judges so. See, everything that you preach openly, God will use it to judge you if you practice it secretly. I like one Kenny Hagin said that when the Lord appeared to him once and said to him concerning his ministry, he said, I'm going to judge you from your own lips. And he quoted for him some things that he has said. It had to do with his ministry order. He said, you were preaching so and so place, you said this. You preached here, you said this. And what you said was true. But this is what you are doing. This is what you are doing now. And you know the interesting part? See, even Brother Hagin said, when he said something, I said, oh, guy, relax. See, you know what happened? He was preaching, he jumped. His foot, for certain reason, slipped. And he hit the floor and badly dislocated his shoulder. And he was in hospital, because they had to carry him to hospital. And the Lord told him, don't worry, I'll take care of everything. When he told me that God doesn't cause, I said, is there a Satan? I said, I believe Satan out of this matter. Because the Lord said to him, if you had gone on the way you were going, and I didn't intervene, you would not have lived beyond the age of 55. Not sure exactly, 50-something. And that time was in his late 30s. He said, I needed to have this conversation. He said, the Lord took a chair and sat with him. And people say, you believe that? I believe it. But I don't believe the Lord said it to him. I believe the Lord said it to me. I don't know whether you're getting my point there. The message is not for him. It's for me. What I say to one, I say to all. That's what a prophet is. All these things we are quoting about Daniel today, Daniel was not told to go and tell us. It was told to Daniel for his own sake. Like I told you before, that's why the Jews didn't put him amongst their prophets. They put him in one of the writings. You and I quote it as prophecy. It was for him. So what the Lord said to him, why he appeared to him and made him write, is that you and I will learn. So the Lord said to me, if you have continued this way, you will not have lived beyond the age of, I think, 55 or 57. I'm not so sure. He said, but now we can have this conversation. And he said, I'm going to heal your hand. It will be fine. I will heal it 99%. He said, ask the Lord, excuse me, did you say 99%? The Lord said, yes. Why not 100? He said, no, I need that 1% to remind you all the days of your life not to disobey me. Yeah. The Lord said, see that 1%? Eh? I will leave it there. And he testified that shoulder, that elbow is fine. That occasionally it gives him a bit of aches, but not anything serious. The Lord did what he said. All the days of his life, that shoulder, that elbow was healed 99%. It's called Paul's thorn in the flesh, so that you will not be exalted above measure. He said in his case, the Lord said, so you will not forget that you're not supposed to disobey what I told you to do. So when he wants to start misbehaving, he wants to carry something, the elbow will just ache him small. It's good for you. You know, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. At least he lived to be almost 90. He was 88 thereabout. Alright? It's better with small elbow ache than not fulfilling your destiny and perishing at the age of 55. Christianity is not a joke. Christianity is not a joke. Christianity is not a joke. If you want to follow the Lord Jesus, follow him well. Don't just get up in the morning and what will make you comfortable is what is primary to you. I've been warning people just that they are too deaf to hear. I've seen people God! I look and say, are you stupid? Who are you leaving this work for? Who will take care of your congregation for you? I don't care whether there are 15 people. If that is your assignment, better face it too. You can't leave the assignment and going to be sweeping gutters somewhere because the city is clean. Because they pay money. People don't even have dignity. What is this life about? See, I don't know why human beings like. Sometimes I don't understand.
Was I bred in another planet? People will tell me things like, I'm going to write, why? And my children say, what is wrong with you? Your father was poor. Your mother was poor. But look at you today. Look at how God has taken care of you that you can dip your hand in your pocket and bring out $20,000. And you don't want the same God to have a reason to do the same for your children, and the only thing you are going to sow into their life is disobedience to the call of God? One of our brothers, I hope he gets to hear this. When he told me something, I'm looking at him, I said, wait. The kind of influence God has given you in this country, and ministers will cut their hands to have it. I know you are not rich. Listen, you don't have to be rich. The person you quote the most in life, this is the funny part. Do you know we quote Paul almost as much as we quote Jesus Christ? I hope you understand that. Some people have even gotten angry. They have this anti-Paul movement. They say back to Jesus, enough of Paul. But I keep on saying that it's not necessary. Paul never magnified himself. He magnified Jesus Christ. Do you know Paul, for no reason could he be qualified as rich? None. On this earth, Jesus was richer than him. In case you don't know, go and read it. The only people that used to remember Paul to send him offering was the Philippians. He will go to Macedonia, and not Macedonia, Thessalonica. He will be walking, making tents. In the evening, he will be preaching to them. Then when Timothy and Co. were arrived, so you guys continue the tent making. Let me go and focus on ministry of the word and prayer. He said, you know, he said to the Ephesians, you know how these hands minister to the need, to my knees and those of my brothers, my co-workers. He said, I wanted to teach you guys. This guy worked hard. He said, preaching the gospel for me was nothing because that is necessity is laid upon me. He said, the only thing I think I did differently was that I said, no, let me go and get another job and still preach as much as I should, thereby making it a matter of suffering. How did he prove that he was an apostle? He said, I used to go hungry. How did he prove he was an apostle? He said, I've been beaten for the gospel. How did he prove that he was an apostle? He said, I've been shipwrecked twice. How did he prove he was an apostle? He traveled dangerous roads often. How did he prove he was an apostle? He said, I've withstood the betrayal of false brethren. That is why the guy wrote books. He would write a letter to a brother. I will call it scripture. Philemon. Just write a letter. He wrote to the Colossians. Say, make sure you read the same letter. He said, give this letter to the church in there. What do they call it now? Is it Laodicea? He mentioned another church. I read the one I wrote to them. People think this letter of the Ephesians that he was referring to. Who taught the so I see pastors running up and down. Stay in your place of poverty and write. Your letter will become scripture. This comfort you are looking for. You are giving nothing to God to use to bless your children. And your claim is the children you are working for. Are you out of your mind? I think you are. I absolutely think you are. He said, look, if you have difficulty, go and pray. Don't relocate into ease. Because difficulty comes for many reasons. You know, sometimes when I preach, I say, you don't believe the gospel. It's obvious you don't. You obviously don't. You think the gospel is preached. Look, I like what the Bishop Oedipo said. He said, is it discipline? He said, that discipline is acting as commanded, not as convenient. Many of us want to do the gospel as is convenient. No, it is done as is what? Commanded. What does it mean to take your cross? For you to say, if I perish, let me perish. It's for you to take your ambition and say, God, take it. This is not what life is about. It's for you to realize that natural advantages mean nothing. It means nothing. I was saying to you, what you call it, do you know being rich is a problem? People don't know that. They won't believe. If you say, no, let's be rich first. Being rich is a problem. Do you know? Sometimes, listen to what I want to say. God will have you locked up in jail to cure you of the confidence that comes to being wealthy. It's a prison you never have gone to if you didn't have money. And it's good for you. Don't think that, hey, God, though. God is good. You know you have to go to heaven. Abi, he said, this is the pathway for heaven to you. For you. This is the pathway to heaven for you. That's not a joke. God said, what's wrong with that guy? He said, he has too much money. So you know what that has done? He has given you too much confidence. Now, deep inside his heart, he can pray for any medical treatment. He doesn't say it openly, but deep inside. He knows if he falls sick, he'll fly abroad. He'll take his wife to India. Take his children to Spain. Whatever it is, that's not a problem. Deep inside. So when you are confessing the word of God concerning health,
He speaks like you are speaking, but faith is not riding upon those words. Why? Because confidence has been collected and placed on money. So the angel said, what do we do? So somebody prays, Lord, help my brother. But I said, what do I should help him here? Says, scare him small. He has one small pain here. And I'm talking to you, you are listening. He has one small pain here. He goes to hospital. Doctor check, doesn't know what he sends him for a scan. Then they put one inexperienced radiologist to read it. And that one decides that he's about to die. And they give him the report. And he's very smart, so he goes online. He checks the diagnosis. He realizes that na die a day. Of course, immediately he starts trying to work out treatment. He's, let me go to the US. His visa expired last week. So he tries to renew. They refuse. For no reason, he's refused. So let me go to India. They start processing. They will finish processing the paper in 5 months. And that inexperienced radiologist that told him that he's going to die in 2 months. Then he goes to church and starts praying. Because, finally, there's prayer of faith from I have confidence in God. There's prayer of faith in which God I have nowhere else to go. He uses second faith. He prays hard. And that's the first time he will not collect, that one we are doing, gospel of life and health. He will listen from the beginning. This guy has never had time. This is from the beginning to the end. And he starts declaring the word in the name of. Then finally, he goes to see the doctor again. They said, please, we have sent your report to another person to review. He says, a benign cyst of the kidney. There's nothing wrong with you. Praise God, God says, see. At least now you have seen that money can fail. You have seen it now. Have you not seen it? Next time they are doing seminar in church, you won't miss one day. Well, I think I've spoken enough. I hope you are blessed today for taking time out to be here this morning. Bow down your ears and say, Lord, thank you. The Lord will increase you for that. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. I say, Lord, help me of pride. Get rid of that pride. Get rid of it.